McFly over here.
It roll off the tongue as funny as I thought it would.
Brotherly Pod on Brotherly Pod here. Working in yet another new show this week. It's Dylan's show. Dylan's back. How you doing, Dylan?
Good, good. How are you?
Doing pretty good here. We are, what, 2.5 weeks from the Flyers trade deadline?
Yeah.
16 days from now. Next 2 weeks on a Friday. And things are... I've written a couple pieces now. The Flyers have basically walked a perfect line between buyers and sellers, and that has caused quite the uproar about their battle plans and what they do here. And all the smoke this week has been around Sean Walker, and we kind of had our immediate reactions on Noelie Pod last night. And after another 24 hours to think on it, the thing that ultimately gets everyone going here is it defies what it is the organization is supposed to be doing right now. It's the rebuild versus being competitive nature of the team. You're promised a rebuild. All these veteran guys should theoretically be on the way out at the deadline. And here you are. One by one, there seems to be excuses for not doing it. Well, they want to move Lawton, but they're going to set the price really high that no team's going to match. Probably same thing with Walker. And they got to keep Seeler. And Mark Stahl's a critical piece of the culture. And we can't move Risto. And one by one, it just seems like the excuses are piling up. And it really is going to be interesting to see what, if anything, they do on deadline day.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with you. I mean, it's getting kind of ridiculous, especially on the back end. Because then you just clog up the prospects and the future of this team. I mean, Bonk, he's a first-round pick. He could easily be here next year. I mean, it's hard to say. Most likely 2 years at this rate. But, I mean, he's on the doorstep. And, I mean, if he's re-signed Walker and Seeler, and then you keep Risto on top of it, it just piles on and there's nowhere to go. Like, it's great to have people and it's great to have options. But if you don't sit anyone or do anything or move anyone, then it's just stockpiling for no reason, and then you just have players to have them, and then eventually you just run out of room. So I don't know. Just, I guess it's just Fletcher PTSD and just the worry of them not figuring out. But I guess we haven't seen what'll happen. But hopefully Danny Briere figures it out and moves out some pieces. I'm fine with keeping Walker, but you have to move out Risto and even Seeler. Like, if you move those two out, fine, keep Walker, whatever, but don't re-sign Seeler.
This is one of the stances I've been riding hard lately, is 18 of the 23 players under contract are already here for next season. 18. Yeah. If they re-sign Walker and Seeler, that's 20. 20 of 23 players already here. That's Stahl, Zamula, and one of the depth forwards, be it Lexell or Brink, both of which are already under contract. It's just a matter of whether or not they actually make the NHL. But, that's not a lot of change year to year.
No.
All the forwards are already under, all 12 of them. Four-year defensemen, Sanheim, Risto, Drysdale, and York. And then Zamula's an RFA. You know, Emil Andre should be battling for an NHL spot. Whether he does or not is a different story. Ronnie Adderd's contract converts to one way. So theoretically, he should be in the NHL. But they clearly have shown they're not afraid to put people on waivers. Wade Allison, yeah, and Lazinski, and give up on them that way so he could find himself back in the AHL another year. You know, Bonk could very well challenge for a spot. You know, I don't know if I believe that yet, just based on the way they, you know, been handling the young guys lately. But on the whole, it's a very crowded team already next season, and it kind of ties their hands when it comes to doing it. And yeah, there is a very Chuck Fletcher-esque aspect to a lot of this when it comes to the questionable constructions when it comes to fulfilling the plan of what it is the organization laid out as far as what it is they want to do.
Yeah. Sticking to the rebuild or not actually rebuilding at all, I guess, is the worry. But I liked what they did at the draft. I mean, the start of the season looked promising. Rebuild this, rebuild that, and we're going to do the right things, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. We're not going to make silly moves. We're not going to trade people just to trade them, which is fine. Like, I get it. You don't want to trade Walker for a fifth-round pick. That's fine. But at least put in the effort and at least say you're going to do it and then actually go through with it. Like, all I ask is if you actually put in the effort instead of Chuck Fletcher just sitting there on the sidelines and not even going in for Johnny Gaudreau when everyone and their mother thought the Flyers were going to, but Fletcher was like, oh, we didn't even think about it. We didn't even consider it. Looking back, I mean, probably the right decision, but at least put your name in the hat. At least do something. At least go for it. And with Walker, Lawton, Seeler, Risto, like, you have so many guys, you could easily just make the effort to at least move them. Like, it can't be a never-ending cycle of just, oh, we want these guys here. And if you sign Walker for 3 years, what does it matter? He's not going to be here when the cup is raised unless you re-sign him again. Because you re-sign him. Like, because that's the end goal. It's the end goal to rebuild into a cup contender for four straight year, whatever, be like the Blackhawks for the decade. But it's just, if you re-sign guys to 3-4 year deals, then you have to re-sign them again. So why wouldn't you just wait, sell them now, and then go back out in 3 years and pick up a similar guy to him? You can easily find a Sealer again. Like, it's not rocket science. Like, why do we have to
guys?
Why do we have to be the team to pay them? Like, I don't. You're supposed to sell them. Not, that's what they were here for, especially Walker. You got him on a cap retain. You got him in Pedersen. You moved Provorov for him. Yeah, he's been great, but he was meant to do that. You were supposed to fix him up and then deal him. So,
and
I don't know.
The problem with these guys, these depth guys overperforming, even if they bring Walker back for 1 year, 1 year, $5 million, no trade protection, you have to assume then that they are going to post the exact same season, which is uncharacteristic to the rest of their career. They have to overperform again to have this value at next year's trade deadline. Versus, hey, we can sell this guy for maybe a second-round pick, if you're lucky, a first-round pick now, or we can hold on to him for a year and sell him for a fifth-rounder next year because his value tanked again. Yeah. You know, like, you gotta know when to sell these guys, and that's what happens when these depth guys over, especially someone like Seeler. Like, why? What? Why? Of all people, you know? It's just, you gotta know when to manage your assets. And, you know, I get it. They want to keep the band together because they're probably going to make the playoffs. Fine. Whatever. But at the end of the day, it's not about this season. It was never about this season. It's about building for something better. And the way to do that is to collect assets. You know, when Anthony put out the tweet today that he's like, well, they could keep him for the playoff spot, whether they resign him or not. And it's like, so you're going to retain him for the playoffs so they can get their shit kicked in by the Carolina Hurricanes in the first round and let him walk in free agency? Are you kidding me? That's horrible, horrible asset management at its basic problem here. And it's one of the reasons why this Walker thing is such a hot button issue in the first place, is because it's pushing the entire narrative that the team is trying to go for to the absolute brink right now as far as what it is they're trying to actually accomplish here.
Yeah. More to your point about selling guys when they're high, or, well, hopefully not high, maybe Joel Farabee. But anyways, more to, like, just selling them at their highest point and when they're playing well. The Flyers did that with Cutter Gauthier in that situation. He wasn't going to be any, or at least in Jonesy's opinion, he wasn't going to be any higher than he was after the World Juniors. That was his top. That was the best time to sell him because he looked the best. Whatever. Okay, so then do that right now as well. Continue to do that with Walker. And Lawton's not having the best season, but the center, what do they call it? The center pool? What's the word I'm looking for?
Market?
Market, yeah, I guess is the right.
The
center
market at the trade deadline.
Sure.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. It's
pool of centers.
It's pretty crappy right now. Yeah. And I mean, Lawton, he's got interest because no one else is available. And I mean, if you're not going to sell now, when are you? Because, like, he's on the down slope right now, and I don't think he's going to get any better. And I liked your point about them selling at their highest because, yeah, Walker, he's going to have back-to-back good seasons, and so are the Flyers, as they want Walker to be consistent as well. And in the Flyers' history, they do not have good back-to-back years, especially when they're not in cup contention and they're a solid team, because from recent years, they teeter-totter from back and forth. They go good year, bad year, good year, bad year, and it's just a cycle. So, I mean, if you want to get out of that cycle, maybe lose some guys. Locker room chemistry will probably hit a downslope a little bit, but it's not moving everyone. they're still guys. They all love each other. They're still the Flyers. I mean, removing a few pieces isn't the end of the world. Like, you have to think about the future here, and I don't see a lot of these guys being in the future, especially if you want newer, fresher guys, especially your pipeline, to be in the forever or foreseeable future, I guess.
And Lawton is a prime example of not selling when their value is at their peak. You know, when the 2023 offseason rolled around and the rumors that were out there with this guy, first round pick plus from Frank Saravalli said stuff like that. Like, these are people that legitimately had the inside track on there being value there. And they said, no, he's too important to our leadership. Well, you keep him around this season, his value tanks. He's playing practically worthless minutes. And it's artificially reinflated by the fact that the center market is so bad now that teams now want him because they don't have any other choice. So now the value's back up. So do you look a gift horse in the mouth twice and go, leadership's still too important, we can't get rid of him again? Or do you go, okay, hey, let's not fucking count our chickens a second time here and sell them at the deadline? It's a prime example of knowing when to cash out on these players.
Yeah, it's just a cycle, and it's getting tiring, and it's kind of hitting a brick wall here. I mean, I love Danny Briere, and I hope he can keep cooking up something, but like, if you just say no, and like, if you just say no and don't even put him on the table, then I'm going to be upset. But if you put in the effort and you try to get a pick and you try to get a prospect out of him, or whatever it may be, from Tampa to whoever, just try and test the market. Don't just sit back and be like, oh no, we're not selling him, he's too important because he's got an A on his jersey. Well, that's because Torts didn't want to give anybody else anything, and he gave one of the oldest guys in the locker room an A because Couturier was on the IR for 18 years. Like, the letters on the jersey shouldn't mean anything. And I mean, hell, I would even sell Konechny, but that's not up for debate anymore.
Me too. So,
I don't know.
So, shifting focus here, one of the other things that has popped up, and we'll be talking prospects here in a while, but under the pipeline of prospects, I find it an interesting topic of rehab projects when it comes to trades. And there was one specifically that popped up, I think last week. I don't remember which insider put it out, but the name Peyton Krebs with the Philadelphia Flyers. And there was one of the things in the Deal or No Deal that I wrote today with Krebs. And Kaapo Kakko's name for the Rangers popped up earlier, like this in late December or early January as well. And it's a fascinating aspect because I am all for rehab projects, but they also at this point need to make sense in terms of their ceiling. And Krebs, you know, the Sabres are one of those teams that I don't give a single shit about. Don't pay attention whatsoever. But looking at his numbers, 3 goals, 10 points. He's their 4C, playing 12 minutes and 30 seconds a night. A whole lot of nothing. Career high of 26 points last season. 188 games, 59 points in the time. He was the 17th overall pick back in 2019. So other than that draft status, there's not a whole lot there with his game. And Kaapo Kakko, same thing. I think he's bringing a little more to the table overall, but 10 points. Woo-hoo. 13 minutes of ice time. Woo-hoo. So when you look at these rehab projects of these young guys, yeah, their draft status once upon a time may mean something, but it also comes back to, are you going to trade Scott Laughton to Buffalo for Peyton Krebs to fill the exact same role when his ceiling may be even lower than what Scott Laughton is working with right now? So they need to be careful with this one. And it's where guys like Zegras come into. Like, that's a rehab project, quote-unquote. He may not be as lowly as these guys, but can he hit a better stride on a team that's better than the Anaheim Ducks with more talent? So I'm a big fan of this, and this is a topic that popped up a lot last summer as well. And it's just kind of interesting that Krebs thing popped up again, because looking at guys like that, I mean, I don't know, 10 points in 53 games, 4C, 12 minutes of ice time does not do a lot for me in terms of interest for bringing this guy in the team.
I mean, and he was already a Vegas Golden Knight.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, if that's not talent enough, I don't know what is. Because that team, when he joined that team, they were pretty solid and structured. And I mean, his point production in the WHL doesn't look too bad. He's listed as a point producer in his like scouting report, but I mean, obviously it hasn't clicked in the NHL level. But at some point, you also have to stop with the rehab project. I guess rehab's not the word, but just like stop with these projects and actually just get a guy that is ready to play for you instead of recycling and trying to make something out of these guys. Like, yeah, okay, you might find a hidden gem like Tippett, but you can't keep doing this and putting in the work for all of this. And then what if it doesn't work out? And then you just lose out on a guy, and then you recycle it, and then it's like, oh, okay, we're going to retry this guy, we're going to fix this guy and do this and that. Well, just go out and shop an actual good talent off the bat. Like, Zegras is a good talent already. I mean, it's probably going to take a hefty amount to get him, but he's already a good talent. He's already worked on his game. He's not the greatest yet, but he can probably easily get to that point at being on a competitive team other than the Ducks. So, I mean, at what point do you stop saying, let's stop with the projects and actually go out and just get out a superstar already? I mean, it's going to take a lot more, but, or just stay within your pipeline. If you have so much faith in your pipeline with McDonald and these other guys, well, then work with them, make them the projects you need. Because, like, I don't know. I don't always trust the this guy is not playing well here, so let's move him over here. Like, I just don't think it'll always work. And I think we just got lucky with Tippett and Walker because they were already good players, but we're on a teams that were pushing for playoffs and kind of pushing them away because they already had guys that were successful, so they didn't realize what they had before. So we got lucky and picked up two guys just because, and we also built them Drew. So, I mean, Drew, Tippett, that's a fairly good deal.
And they need, you know, the thing with Krebs is a career high of 26 points. If you rehab that, even if you double that, he's still just a 50-point guy. You know, it's like, at the end of the day, this roster, one of the gigantic problems, especially a forward here, is everybody tops out at a random 50-point guy. You need more than that. So even if you get these guys, successfully rehab them, quote-unquote, and get them to 20-goal, 50-point guys, then there's just another 20-goal, 50-point guy on a roster filled with them already. So, I don't know. Like, I always think it's a fascinating concept. And when done right, and guys like Owen Tippett is a good example of that, can be successful. But at the end of the day, you know, maybe don't bite at every single one of them like this. You know, if you trade Morgan Frost or Peyton Krebs and hope that you can get more out of Peyton Krebs, and then he's just a... Great, he's a younger 4C. Woohoo.
Yeah.
Well, the... Now, part of this show, we're going to talk prospects. And as you alerted me beforehand here, apparently some injuries throughout the pipeline, which you're not really a Flyers prospect unless you get hurt a lot, right?
I swear, like, at least one of them's hurt for a good chunk of the season. First off, Hunter McDonald, I mean, he's been talked about from Keith Jones. He was on the PHLY Flyers podcast with Bill and Charlie couple weeks ago now, and Keith Jones just raved about McDonald. He was a later round pick, like sixth rounder in 2021, I want to say, or 2022.
2022.
Yeah, we just spoke about him last week. But anyways, he told me he pulled like a nerve and kind of just struck him weird after a weird hit, like in preseason, and then he played the first game of the season, had an assist, but then sat out for a solid chunk of the start of the season. I think he was out like, I don't even know. I think he just returned in like January, I want to say. So, I mean, it wasn't really nothing major. He kind of just rested and didn't want it to get worse, but he just wanted to make sure he was healthy. So he's back. He's playing well. He's had a good rest of his season. He's played 15 games since. But Alex Siernik, he was a 2023 draft pick the Flyers got. He played in the World Juniors. He played three games with Slovakia. He played three games in the World Juniors, but left early after he took a weird hit and was concussed, of course. We love concussions in the organization. But before that, even, he had a concussion prior to the World Juniors, but he was cleared to to play. He felt like he was fine and just made the cut. He made the team and then he played. But then another concussion hit. So then he sat out from January to February and just played his first game back the other day, I believe. I think it was just two nights ago, which is good news. I'm glad he's back. He'll be back for a playoff run for his team there, hopefully, because he's one of their better players. So that's good to see, but kind of worrying that he had a concussion or two concussions at such a young age. But he obviously took the rest, took what was needed to recover, so that is good. Maximum Rizzo, unfortunately, one of my favorite prospects on the go right now. He is out week to week with a lower body injury. I'm not exactly sure what happened to him. I'm still trying to find out, but he suffered a lower body injury a couple games ago. He's out, I want to say, almost to the end of the regular season. They only have, I believe, 7 games left. They play it week by week. They play like a series in a week because of their schooling and stuff in college hockey. So, he could be back in 4 games, but realistically, I think he's probably going to take some rest and probably be there for the playoffs and the Frozen Four. So hopefully he gets back on track after such a solid season. I had him in Hobie Baker conversations, but obviously, what's his name from BU, first overall pick this year?
Celebrini,
there we go. I always forget. I literally go into these and I'm like, oh yeah, okay, I'll remember that name. I'll remember. And then I just, anyways, Rizzo, I had him Hobie Baker conversations because he was doing so well, like 34 assists in 44 games, or sorry, 28 games, 34 assists in 28 games. You can say he's however old, I don't care. That's crazy numbers. And he played in the Spangler Cup, had 2 assists in 4 games. He looked solid as well. He couldn't bury into the back of the net, but he had solid games. And I mean, say what you want, but whatever. I'm not even going to get into that debate right now. Maybe I will later, but we'll see. And apparently the 10 goals he has, that's kind of depleting his Hobie Baker status because it's more on goals and this and that. And it's more of just a show. But, and of course, former Flyers prospect, Carter Gauthier, is like among the best in Hobie Baker conversation, but whatever. Anyways, yeah, so he's out week to week. Hopefully he gets better. And Alexi Yordan, he went to the queue after the Phantoms dumped him off there for a bit.
God, I was so angry. And ironically enough, they send down Gendron, and then they trade Jordy Bellerive. Garrett Wilson gets hurt. Tanner Lozinski gets hurt. All of a sudden, it's like, man, they could really use a top 6 forward here with some scoring guys. I liked him. He was playing every other game on the fourth line, which is really dumb for a 19-year-old. But man, his speed was good. His shot was good. He looked like a guy that was there. But as his birthday, I think, made the clearance by like 2 or 3 days or something like that.
Yeah.
Made him eligible. So I get why they sent him back down, especially because they weren't using him well. But it's like, it's just ironic that the second Gendron goes back down, they could have really, really used somebody like him on the roster.
Yeah. And I mean, he got hurt. I was told it's a minor injury. I know in the queue they play a lot more games in like rapid succession. They've had 7 or 8 games since he's been hurt, and it's been a minor injury, which is kind of concerning. I mean, he could obviously be resting it and just seeing how it goes, but I don't know if it's lower body or upper injury. I'm not really sure what happened there, but all I know is it's minor. So hopefully it stays minor and he's not out for an extended period of time. But yeah, when I spoke to him, he said he was thankful for the opportunity to play with Phantoms. He knows he's young, but 7 points in 17 games as a 19-year-old is not terrible, especially if you're playing on the fourth line. Like, I mean, I don't think that's worth the demotion. I mean, he told me it was kind of mutual, and they both in the team and him agreed that it was kind of best for his development to go get first line minutes in the queue and just continue that process he had. But I think even bumping him up a little bit would have helped his game a lot. He had 16 points in 10 games in the queue. When he returned, he had like, I think it was like 6 points in like 3 games or something crazy. So I mean, obviously his game's there.
Yeah.
he's got a crazy shot. I mean, his speed is like electric
He got
for his
great
size.
Shot.
Yeah. So I mean, I would have liked to see him stay up with the Phantoms, but it's good to see that he's playing well with the Volts. So win-win there, but hopefully he recovers quickly. I think that's it for injuries, which is good. This is the most I've seen this year. Usually it's just one or two guys. Like I said, McDonald was kind of on the IR there for a bit. I guess I don't know if they call it the IR in the NCAA, but I know he was out for quite a while. But other than that, I think we're good there with injuries, which will hopefully.
You know, they drafted somebody named Santeri Solku.
Oh yeah, that was
what?
This year as well.
I don't think I've ever heard that before until I pulled up this list right now. Santeri Solku. Yeah, seventh rounder in 2022. What? I need that jersey immediately.
For a seventh round pick, he's also playing pretty well with, I don't even know, Hermes? What are these foreign, like, overseas teams? Like, Cernak's team is so weird, too. Hockey Alzavankin. And he's with, like, Vasker Vix IK. Like, I don't even.
Santeri
so
Solku is playing with Hermes Kokkola right now.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. In the Mestis.
In the
league.
Mestis. Mestis League. Whatever the fuck
but,
that means.
Yeah. But I mean, he's having a good season. 24
Mestis
points in 29 games.
League. The second highest men's ice hockey league in Finland.
Oh. I mean,
there you go. Learn something new today.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't really know much too much about him. I mean, he seems to be a good skater. He is mainly a playmaker. He likes to pass the puck a lot more, even though he has 16 goals this season. It's his first year with his new club, U20, U18, with Jokerit. What are these names, man? But yeah, I mean, he looks kind of solid at only 19. Left shot, left wing center possibility. I mean, I don't know if we'll ever see him in the NHL.
I just want a Solku jersey right now. I'm going to get one made specifically. God damn, what a name.
I mean, hopefully next year you can see him with the Phantoms, maybe. But other than that, I don't really know too much about him. 201 pounds, 6'4". So, I mean, he's got some bulk, but tough
not
to
bad
see
for a
him.
19-year-old.
Yeah, tough to see him in the NHL, though. I mean, seventh round picks are like.
Don't crush my dreams.
I know.
He's going to be a star.
So weird.
Maybe a Dallas star, but he's going to be a star.
So weird with like anything beyond like a fourth rounder is just like so crazy if they make the NHL. People are like, oh my God, it's a fifth round pick. Or like, it's so weird with the NHL. It's like, I don't know.
Well, we talked about Oliver Bonk earlier, and obviously this is going to come down to whether or not they move Walker or resign the fucking guy and give themselves any opportunities to add their defenseman. But, you know, 21 goals, 58 points in 47 games. This was a guy that was kind of deemed a safe draft pick last year. It's like, he's going to be a fine second pair NHL guy when he's there, and he's fine. And all of a sudden, contributing on the power play, scoring goals left and right, racking up points. Like, his post-draft stock has risen tremendously. And, you know, obviously going to be heavily coveted by the organization, so they may do the right thing and just let this guy cook for another year in the OHL. But given the success and how much stock they have riding in this guy, gotta wonder if he does push for an NHL gig next season.
I mean, I've been pretty up and down with Bonk. I would like for him to stay in the OHL, but I would argue that he could make a push to the NHL. I mean, he's going to be 20 next year. So, I mean, he has the option to go to the AHL or the NHL. So, I mean, a January birthday. So, I mean, next year he could be an AHLer. I'm not really sure how all of that works. I mean, his point production, I would argue it's just like a plus to his already structured prototypical shutdown defenseman play. I mean, that's his scouting report. He's meant to be this lockdown defenseman, stay at home kind of guy. What the Flyers want Mark Stahl to be, but he can't.
Mark Stahl.
I mean,
can't wait till they trade him for a second round pick at the deadline, like everyone told me they were going to do last summer.
Goodness.
Yeah.
I mean, he's had productive years before too. I mean, last year in 67 games, he had 40 points. That's a solid season for a defenseman.
That's Travis Konecny numbers right there.
I mean, and this year it's just a plus. Like, he's playing above expectations. He's stellar on the power play. Like, more than half of his goals are on the power play this year. I think he's like up to 16 power play goals or something around there. Crazy numbers. And I mean, things are clicking for him. He still has like 20 plus games to go.
Which means he will not be on the power play when he comes to the Flyers.
Yeah. Bring in Drysdale to put him on the second power play. I saw that earlier today and I was like, you brought Drysdale. Well, I mean, you didn't really have a choice. Like, Drysdale was your return for Koji, but like, you brought him in to be your quarterback on your power play, but you're putting Jamula and Santa on above, and your second power play unit looks better than your first.
Yeah.
I get you don't really have a set power play and you don't really know what you're doing with stuff, but like,
pulling names out of a hat.
I just don't understand the structure there. Anyway, I don't know. I think we could see Bonk next year, but he would have to have a really good camp and he would have to impress out of the gate.
And then he makes the camp and then sits for the first 3 weeks and plays one game for 3 minutes and then gets demoted like everybody else.
Yeah. If he makes the NHL and then he turns 20 while he's in the NHL, I think he can go to the AHL. But if the Flyers decided to have him in the NHL, I don't believe they can send him back to the O. It may be a situation like they had with Shane Wright. I'm not sure the structure of all of that. I got to freshen up on that. But arguably, he could make a push. So, I don't know. It's up in the air. He has to have a good camp.
There was one guy that caught some fire last year in the prospect world, and that was third round pick in 2022, Devin Kaplan, Boston University, 23 points in 40 games. And I feel like we heard a lot about him last year and then haven't heard dick about him this year. Which is weird because his point totals are more or less on pace. He has 17 points in 27 games this year. He had 23 and 40 last year. So, you know, more or less the same there. But on the whole, I've not heard much about this guy. What's going on?
From what I've heard and what I've seen, he's not playing as well as he did last year. Like, I mean, 17 points isn't anything to just scoff at. But from what I've seen, he isn't the same player he was last year. I mean, that could be for a lot of reasons. He could be trying to structure his game differently and focus on something else. I mean, Knubel, he's trying to focus. A lot of the Flyers prospects, actually, the ones that I've talked to, have told me they're focusing rather on trying to play the 200-foot game that Torts loves to preach about. So, I mean, they love their offense, but they're also still trying to just figure out playing both sides of the
puck. That's a Ron Hextall-ism, if ever there was one. 200-foot games! Don't score goals! You gotta play defense!
I mean, there could be some underlining there. I haven't really paid too much attention to him. 4 points in his last 10 games. I mean, he's on a strong team as well, so I believe he's up there in minutes. I think he's on second or third line with Scalabrini and those guys. So, I mean, the point totals may not be there, but I can't say for sure what's going on. Just from what I've heard, he's not really himself this season. I mean, that could be for a handful of reasons, but you never know as well. I mean, it's kind of like guys in the AHL, they have a hot year and then they kind of drop off a bit and then they're never heard from again. So there could be a lot going on there. He's still got a couple years of eligibility, so we'll see what happens there. College kids can't come to camp unless it's development camp. So I guess we'll really see him at development camp. Can't see him for too long at training camp or anything like that. So he's got to impress out of the gate if he wants to make a name for himself. 20 years old, could make a push for the AHL, but we'll have to wait and see this summer, I guess. A third round pick as well. So, I mean, that's nothing high, I guess. That's not like a sixth round or anything. That's a pretty high pick.
How's your boy doing, Mateo Mann?
Oh boy.
6'6", 230 at 19. Ho ho! My
Yeah.
kind of guy.
That, I don't know. He has more penalty minutes than he does points per game. So, he needs to figure out pretty much everything.
70 penalty minutes in 40 games. Holy
Yeah.
Christ.
Well, because he's like taller. He's tall as shit. And so he just bodies everyone or like cross checks people or trips
Six,
someone
two
up.
30 at 19. Holy
Yep.
Jesus.
So he just bodies everyone and then gets penalties for it. But he's got to figure out everything. Like at camp, everyone thought he was just flat footed and just got caught. Like, so, I mean, if he wants to do something, even in the AHL level, especially as a seventh round pick, he needs to structure his game a lot.
I'd sign him for
Samuel
10 years on that contract, no problem.
Morant.
6'6",
Samuel's.
230, yes, please.
My God. Could you imagine? Like, oh. I
Max
mean, it.
term, max money. I don't give a shit. Whatever he wants. He is playing on my hockey team.
I mean, scouts had him like going like fourth, sixth round. Like, I mean, they had him going a lot sooner. So, I mean, obviously, teams didn't
Diamond in the
see
rough. Cinderella story on top of that. Oh, I love it.
I would love for something to happen there. I mean, his height is insane, but he just needs to figure everything out to be successful.
He will. I believe in him.
Well, we'll see.
My new favorite.
Can't argue with that.
Sam Moran, Volume 2, except with better knees.
It's good that Sam Moran's got a lot of props from the prospects as well. He's helping a lot. He's staying in touch with a lot of the guys. Riley Armstrong as well, John LeClair. The Flyers are making an effort to make sure these guys are happy in their situations and they're staying on top of things, making sure they actually want to be here. So, I mean, it looks good from prospect end.
Yeah, we got, we got some guys. The AHL's still looking, well, the AHL's been a bit of a disaster, if I'm being honest here, but they got some stars. Samu Tuomala came out of friggin' nowhere. Second round pick a few years ago. He did fucking nothing when he was in Finland for those few years, and he comes in, AHL All-Star, probably best overall player on the team right now, looking great. Bobby Brink's down there. I don't think we're ever going to see him again, which is unfortunate, but he's looking good himself. Desnoyers is a mess. J.R. Avon, he and Gendron were the two guys early on that were the surprises of the group. Considering I was not convinced J.R. Avon was a real person until I actually saw him. Here's this mystery guy they signed out of nowhere as an unsigned free agent. Oh, by the way, he's not at camp because he's injured, and he's not going to play the month first month of the season because he's injured. It's like he's not actually real. This guy's not real. But he
That
is.
was weird. I forgot about him. I always forget about him.
Shootout master, J.R. Avon, by the way. Leads the AHL in shootout goals.
Really?
Wow.
Granz as well. I wouldn't consider him a prospect, but well,
Helga
I
Granz is
guess he's a
bad.
prospect. I don't know. But
Not
I
a
don't think
fan.
we'll ever see him.
He and Samson have been underwhelming. Ginning is fine. Andre and Adder should be in the NHL right now, but they're not because Mark Stahl. And it's just.
One guy I want to touch on, Matt Brown. He just got the promotion to the AHL.
Yep.
I've loved his game, especially with the Royals. He like led the team when he was down there. I don't think he ever should have been down with the Royals, in my opinion. He was a phantom from day one after that strong camp, and just being a camp invitee and showing up and being that guy and just showing out. So, I mean, and he had a sweet shootout goal when he first got back with the Phantoms. He had a sweet shootout goal or breakaway goal in the All-Star game in the ECHL. So, I mean, I like Brown, and he could be a future piece if he sticks with the Phantoms and they actually follow through with the development here. But I like him, and I think he's a guy that doesn't get talked about enough.
Yeah, came out of nowhere. 39 points in 36 ECHL games this year. A single assist in six Lehigh Valley Phantoms games, but he did have a shootout winner and has been fine. Just another dude on a roster filled with dudes in the AHL, which is the overarching problem that they have right now is just forward depth is non-existent. So hopefully Brown, if he gets a chance to step up here above the crowd and look good, I mean, there's not exactly a lot holding him back right now to earn his spot and get that option there. So yeah, we shall see.
I don't know how this all works. You might have to help me here, but with the AHL and just like continually bringing guys in and doing all of this other stuff, is there not like a certain amount of players you can have on a roster? Because like eventually this AHL team is just going to be as crowded as the Flyers are. Like if you have Rizzo coming over, if you have Brown trying to make a spot, if you have all of these guys just cycling in more and more, where does everyone fit? Where does everyone go? You can send a million people to the Royals, but eventually they get stacked as well. And I would be interested to see a couple years down the road and even this year and onward if the Flyers will move prospects for assets and picks and get stars and like not Dallas stars, but like future stars and like guys that will give you a cup.
Yeah, Dallas stars too. They're pretty good. I'd take a few of them.
Yeah, I mean, but like, you know what I mean? Like just push out some of the guys you don't believe in anymore and get assets in return and guys that you actually want.
There is going to be some overhaul in Lehigh this year. Allison's probably gone. He's still an RFA, but I can't imagine he resigns. Lazinski's on. Brooks is gone. Brody's gone. Will's like, I don't even know who that is. Apparently under NHL contract for some reason. Jennings and RFA, I assume he's coming back in some form. Millman, I don't know why they don't like Mason Millman. He's one of those guys that's been stuck in the ECHL for like 3 years now, given very little opportunity ever in the AHL, and I don't really understand why, but I can't imagine he comes back. So some of these guys are moving out, but there is a veteran ratio you're supposed to have, and I don't know what it is off the top of my head. I would need to look it up. There's supposed to be only a handful of veterans playing every single game over a certain amount of games played experience and whatnot. So it is there. But yeah, especially if the Phantoms continue to kind of crash and burn this year, whether they're replaced with young guys or with some form of, you know, AHL legitimate journeyman, I got to imagine they undergo some kind of big change this year because it is unacceptable to go from a playoff caliber team to an absolute disaster of a team. And a big fault of that is because a lot of these depth guys just haven't performed. Adam Brooks, Rhett Garden, who they brought in this year, a whole lot of nothing. You know, and these random ECHL plugs they have aren't doing it either. You know, they got to figure this out. And whether it comes in the form of guys like Rizzo showing up to replace Lazinski, something along those lines, or going out and addressing this with some kind of actual substantial talent. Because they got to do it, man. You got to build your AHL team into a successful breeding ground to then teach them how to win to make the NHL so they transition should theoretically be easier. You know, having Samu Tuomala succeed on, you know, the top team in the Atlantic Division would be a whole lot easier than having him try and develop when they're going to miss the playoffs this year. You know, so it will be interesting to see whether they fire in LaPerriere, whether they really kind of overhaul this team or just kind of let the natural cycle process happen of the expiring contracts go out, the new guys come in and kind of see what happens. But yeah, they got to figure something out because it has been an overall brutal season in Lehigh. And a lot of it is just because of the depth. The young guys are succeeding. There's not much more Samu Tuomala can do right now. Ollie Lexell led every offensive category before these, you know, call-ups started screwing everything up. Like, these guys that are supposed to be succeeding are succeeding. It's just the depth just isn't there to support them. And it doesn't fucking help that Cal Peterson sucks real bad. And Felix Sandstrom's been, you know, hit or miss ever since he was demoted after they kept him on the main roster for the first 6 weeks of the season for some reason. Remember that fucking debacle? Oh, God. But, yeah, so one way or another, they gotta fix the Phantoms here, because it has been just a brutal season. Just miserable for the most part.
And I mean, they don't keep anyone from what I've seen. They just go here, have a 2-game stint with the Phantoms, and then go back to Reading.
Yeah, there's been a lot of, you know, Evan Poley comes up for a few games, then he goes away, and then Darren Brady gets called up, and they send him down, then Matthew Brown, it's his turn to come up and play a few games. You know, it's just, it's a constant cycle of the depth pieces, because none of them are working. So, we shall see. And then for Zade Wisdom, I don't know, Ian LaPerriere has always had a vendetta against Wisdom. I don't know what it is, but he's the one prospect over the last two seasons that has been given practically zero opportunity to succeed, which is really weird, but I don't know. I don't know what the problem is there, but everybody else, like, it's the weirdest. You know, I've written a couple pieces over the last few weeks looking into the Phantoms and Ian LaPerriere, and it's weird, because the prospects are succeeding. Your AHL guys that are supposed to be playing good, on the whole, are playing good. But you're just not getting the overall support of the team. And that's roster construction. That's Briere's fault. That's Alan McCauley's fault. That's John LeClair's fault, you know, to establish a winning group down there for them. So, I don't know whether LaPerriere bites the dust or not. It'll be an interesting... I mean, even if he does, he's not going to get fired. He's going to get promoted within the organization. He'll be Danny Briere's right-hand man. But, yeah, overall, it's been a miserable, miserable season for the Phantoms, and I can't wait for it to be over.
Be a bad coach in the AHL and get promoted to front office in the NHL.
Yeah. When Breer gets canned in a few years, GM
Lappy. Oh, my God.
And then a few years after that, President Lappy. When Hilferty retires, owner Lappy. Governor Lappy.
Oh, God.
You laugh. It's going to happen. This guy's not going nowhere. He's going to be here for the rest of his life.
Yeah. He's not playing hockey anymore, but you still got to pay him.
Yeah. You know, what they always do. Well, anybody else you wanted to touch upon before we wrap it up here?
I don't think so tonight. I think that clears the bases of what's going on. Playoffs, I guess. Southern and the Winterhawks in the WHL, they clinched their playoff spot the other day. Really good team there. They've lost like 9 games or something ridiculous. The London Knights the other night, they also clinched the playoffs. I think that's the only two teams that are in the playoffs. Or at least clinched, I should say. Mitchkoff, always got to talk about him. He's not in the playoff situation. And
he's already a flyer.
SKA, they loaned him to Sochi, but Sochi cannot loan him back for the playoffs. SKA is in a playoff spot. They're playing really well. However, Mitchkoff cannot play in the playoffs with them, unfortunately. But it was reported today that he's going to play in like some minor tournament thing in like next month or something. I'm not sure how serious it is or really what it is, but he'll stay busy doing that. He said he wants to make the team SKA next year. So, I mean, he still has high hopes, and he wants to work it out with his coach, Rottenberg, or whatever the hell the name is. So, I mean, there's growth there, and hopefully he comes over when the time is right. But other than that, I think that pretty much wraps it up.
All right, everyone. We'll call it a day here. We got 2 more shows this week. Papa tomorrow, and Freakin' Flyer on Friday. I'm sure you'll hear that episode on Sunday, as usual. And then Noli was up yesterday. Katie was up on Monday talking her experience at the Stadium Series game. You can check that out if you have not yet. Plenty of shit up on the website, BrotherlyPuck.com. At Dan the Firefan, at Brotherly Puck, at Brotherly _ Pod. I believe this is episode 798 of Brotherly Pod, by the way.
Wow.
Almost 800 episodes. 800 times I've sat there and said, oh, alright, everybody. Jesus. Getting old. Oh, well. But, yeah. Dylan! Where can people find you on Twitter?
I guess you don't have to guess my middle name anymore. Dylan Roblard _ on Twitter. where you can find me.
Dylan H. Romorn.
That is the name at the top, but the username does not have the H in it.
Was Dylan Robillard taken?
Yes, it's so annoying.
What
it's
the
so
hell?
Tedious. I have to add the slash on the end. It's so annoying. But yeah, you can find all my prospect coverage and all that good stuff on there. So.
All right, everyone. Until next time, goodbye and good night.